Thank you for tuning in to the LeavingInTheRing.com network. You're entering the full court press with R. Dot and Fresh, sponsored by SportsAndGiggles.com and Made Apparel. We have a very special show for you guys. What up, Fresh?
What up, R. Dot? What it do? Just another day in paradise for me, bro.
Just another day in paradise. How was your vacation, bro?
Man, my vacation was lovely, man. Beautiful weather in Arizona. I had a chance to check out the most boring NBA game I've ever seen in my life. The Rockets versus the Suns. I was in the audience sleep, and I was courtside. How about that?
Courtside seats at the Phoenix Rockets game. You big baller. What up, Fresh?
What up?
So what was it like down there when James Harden was giving it to him?
It's clear that Dwight Howard and James Harden don't like each other, man. The chemistry is terrible. They, you know, James Harden threw a pass to Dwight Howard. There's no acknowledgement of a good pass or, you know, it's just no team camaraderie, man. I'm used to watching, you know, I like watching Golden State and then you watch Houston. It's total polar opposites. But wow, James Harden will pat that thing all night long, though. But, you know, he got game. A selfish game, but he got game.
Wow, man, I just can't believe how the Rockets just keep falling, man. Everyone thought it was Kevin McHale, but clearly he wasn't the guy. It's not his fault. He's just a fall guy, obviously.
Yeah, I think they fired Kevin McHale too soon, man. You know, they was the number two seed in the West, you know, and went into the Western Conference Finals last year, and you fired Kevin McHale a month into the season. What, 11 games? It was like 4-7 or something.
Yeah,
currently the eighth seed in the West at 28-28.
Wow, they 500, and they just went to the finals, Western Conference Finals last year, and now they're five. Wow, they're a 500 ball club. What's wrong with that team?
Chemistry. Too many me's, not enough we's.
I don't know if the Rockets gonna make the playoffs, and that's sad when you have an all-star in James Harden. You have Dwight Howard, who has made it to the All-Star game.
Should be an All-Star.
You have Josh Smith, Jason Terry, who I really like. You got Patrick Beverley. I mean, you got a pretty solid starting five. Yeah,
you got Ty Lawson.
You
done brought Josh Smith back.
You got a pretty good set of group of players.
You got some decent pieces.
Yeah, so I don't understand why it's not working down there. First of all, they need to hold some defense. Speaking of defense, how about the NBA All-Star game? We didn't get to talk about it, but there was no defense played in that game.
They need to do away with the All-Star game unless they play a little harder than that. Normally, it'd be at least a little defense in the fourth quarter. This is ridiculous.
Man, I'm not sure if they need to do away with it, but they need to fix it. Like, kind of how they need to revamp, how they revamped the three-point shootout and the skills competition at it. They need to revamp the All-Star game. I know what they could do.
Have an open draft?
Yep.
I would like that. Instead of East versus West, I like
that. They could have Barkley. Captains,
the two vote-getters in the East. The one vote-getter from the East and the one highest vote-getter from the West pick the rosters.
Yep.
The fans vote for all 12 people, the highest 12, regardless of position. And out of those pool of players, the two highest vote getters are the team captains to pick their team.
What? I was thinking they could have Shaq be a captain and Charles Barkley be a captain, kind of like how they do it in the NFL, how they got Deion and Michael Irvin.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing, just was I was letting the players pick, but I like that, the legends.
Let the legends draft. Like that'd be cool.
They did that for the rookie and sophomore game for a minute. They had the draft. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like the USA versus the world, though.
Yeah.
A young game.
Yeah, it's a young game. They scored a lot of points in that game. The main game, the NBA All-Star game, it was hard to watch.
I didn't watch it. I watched a little bit of it. Then once I saw what they was doing, I'm not interested.
Yeah, because when I watch the All-Star game, honestly, when the best players are on the court, I want them to see them play hard against each other because I want to see who's the best out of the best.
Right, and that in the summertime, they play a little harder than they do in the All-Star game because it's during the season, I believe, and nobody really want to get hurt. They're not contesting anything.
The only person that play hard is Russell Westbrook.
Absolutely. He's waiting. He play hard in his sleep.
Yeah, I think he only has one gear.
We gotta backtrack. The All-Star Saturday night. The dunk contest. contest is back.
Thanks dunk contest was dope.
To Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine. I think it was the best dunk contest I've seen since the 88 dunk contest with when Dominique got robbed in Chicago. It was awesome. Aaron Gordon with the sit in the chair dunk over the mascot was Vince Carter-esque. Vince Carter-esque, that dunk he did is going to be show forever.
Yeah, I felt like Aaron Gordon got robbed. Zach LaVine did some great dunks, but Aaron Gordon's dunks were way better. They were more innovative.
Both were 50s. That's why I didn't think it shouldn't have been a loser, because the dunk they gave Aaron Gordon, like a 47 or 45 or something crazy on, was an awesome dunk. He cocked it, hit his shoes between his legs, and then tomahawked it. You know, he tomahawked it first and then hit his shoes with the ball and double pumped it backwards. And they give him a 47. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I liked Aaron. I thought Aaron Gordon won.
It should have been co-champions of the dunk contest with a dunk off next year in Houston.
They could have had a dunk off, but to me, Aaron Gordon won. I like Zach LaVine's dunks, but Aaron Gordon, he had better dunks. He used a mascot. The mascot was on one of those, hoverboards? He was on the hoverboard. The mascot was spinning around.
Now, Zach from the free throw line between the legs, or all the both of them was impressive. I can't take either one, nothing from either one of them, but Aaron Gordon shouldn't have been the loser. There shouldn't have been. Well, there was no loser that night. They should have split the check.
I thought Zach LaVine dunks was cool, but when it was all said and done, I think Aaron Gordon won by a slim margin. Just a slim margin. He the people's champ anyway. I like them.
It's going to be interesting. They both only 20 years old. So hopefully they don't get too big to do the dunk contest. I want them to do it for years to come.
They'll probably do another one. Well, I know Aaron Gordon will. He wants to win, so of course he'll do another one. Now, if Zach LaVine wins three times in a row, man, I know something.
He got the goods.
He'll be the best dunker.
He's in my top five already all-time top dunker right now.
People forgot the champion before Zach LaVine was John Wall. People forgot about that. That was 2014.
John Wall was a dunk contest.
John Wall won a slam dunk contest. A lot of people don't even remember that. So
some good. What about you think about the Anthony Towns winning the skills competition?
Anthony Towns did a good job for the big men, representing for the fours and the fives in the NBA. I like Karl Anthony Towns. He's a fundamentally sound big man. He is. He's probably one of the better big men coming out of Kentucky. Besides Anthony Davis.
What do you make of the trades that did or did not happen?
What trade in particular? Because the only trade I've seen that would probably make an impact is the Jeff Green trade. It seemed like all the owners, it seemed like all the GMs were scared to make a move this year.
I'm not going to say scared. They were hesitant because there's going to be so much cap room this summer. You don't have to mortgage your future and lose to Golden State in the finals anyway.
Yeah, that's true. We all know Golden State should win a title again, so.
Don't sleep on the acquisition of Anderson Varejao. Cleveland traded him. The team waived him. And he signed with the Warriors. Will he give the Warriors some of the Cavs intel if they meet again in the finals?
I like Tobias Harris pickup for Detroit. That was a nice pickup for them.
It was. What do you think about Channing Frye to the Cavs, that stretch 4-5?
We'll see. I'm not a big Channing Frye fan, but he can shoot the three, but I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's the difference between him and Kevin Love.
You didn't have to get rid of Kevin Love. There's no difference. They add an additional shooter. So you can put a LeBron, a Love, a Frye, a Shumpert, or a Smith along with a Kyrie Irving, and you got four snipers and some size.
I think Cleveland fans are dreaming, thinking Shannon Frye is their gem in the or diamond in the rough player that they need to get over the hump. I think you guys are dreaming.
What are they missing to get over the hump, Ardot?
I personally think it's just experience. I think some of their players that they depend on the most just don't have the experience to win the big games. It would have helped last year if Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving played, because then even if they would have lost, they would have still had that playoff experience that they're going to need. They should make it to the finals anyway. I mean, I don't see anyone in the East really stopping them. I'm trying to figure it out, but unless LeBron gets hurt, Cleveland's going to the finals in the East.
Is there a foregone conclusion? Is a Cavs-Warriors rematch, or does any teams in the West got something to say about that? Can anybody beat Golden State 4 out of 7 games? 4 times in 2 weeks. They are 50-5 right now.
No one can beat Golden State in a 7-game series unless Golden State is not at full strength. That's the only way. They're too locked in. They're just too good everywhere, man. It's just too hard. There's hardly any mismatches on the floor that they can't exploit. You got a little bit of the formula of how to beat them. I don't know if you paid attention, but Portland played them this weekend. They played Golden State. They actually beat Golden State 137-105 on Friday. Damian Lillard, boy, he put up some numbers, man. 51 on Steph Curry. Can you believe it? 51 on Steph Curry.
Damian Lillard has something to prove after the All-Star snub. Damian Lillard is the third best point guard in the NBA. There's no way he shouldn't have been in the All-Star game.
I agree, man.
My 3-point guards, I take Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, and Damian Lillard. And no, I'm sorry, Russell Westbrook.
I agree, man. Damian Lillard having an All-Star season, man. You know, he's averaging 25 points a game, 7 assists. You know, after that 51-point game he dropped on Golden State and they mopped him, he followed it up with a 30-point game at Utah. And they mopped Utah 115-111 at Utah.
Portland is the hottest team in basketball. And quietly, Damian Lillard has them over 500 and in the 7th seed in the West right now. He's definitely having an MVP season.
I would say so, man. They lost their whole team. They lost Batum, Wes Matthews, Robin Lopez, LaMarcus Aldridge. They lost 4 starters, and they still in the 7th spot.
Give it to Damian Lillard, who's in the MVP. He's an MVP candidate, most improved player.
And Coach
CJ McCollum, along with Coach of the Year, Terry Stott. Great job, Coach Stott.
Damian Lillard, man. He's got 13 double-doubles this year. That's 5th in the league for point guards. He's gotten better every year since he came in the league in 2012. The most incredible thing about this guy, he ain't a big guy, but the most incredible thing about him, he's played in every game since he came into the league. He hasn't missed one game.
That's really saying something. Super durability.
That's super durability. I got to give him props for that. Man, this guy, they lost. This team was gutted.
They left him out for dead, and Damian Lillard, like, not on my watch.
Man, now they got CJ McCollum, Myers Leonard, Miles Plumlee, Allen Crabbe. They got a whole new squad, and these guys are still balling and giving it to teams every night. I got to give congratulations to Porter and Coach Stotts out there.
Good job, Trailblazers, Damian Lillard, Coach Stott, the whole Trailblazers organization.
Rip City.
Good job. So far, so good.
He on fire, man. Speaking of on fire, how about Anthony Davis on Sunday?
Yeah, he tore my hometown team, Pistons, up. What was it, 51-20? Only 3 players?
No.
And his, 59. Pardon me.
In 20.
Only 3 players in history that achieved that feat. And those players are Anthony Davis, Chris Webber, and Shaquille O'Neal. The players in the last 30 years to put up those kind of numbers.
That is an incredible group to be a member of. You can't get any better than Shaq and Chris Webber, man. 59-20 is incredible. Anthony Davis, 24-34 from the field. Can you believe it? 70%.
What a fishing game. And he was 9-for-10 from the free throw line.
Oh, my God, man. Anthony Davis averaging 24 points this year, 10 rebounds, 2.2 blocks a game.
But his team is struggling because of injuries. Do he get a pass? He's a superstar that won't make the playoffs. Do you give him a pass because of the team he's on?
I got to give him a pass, Fresh, man. Look at this. Tyreek Evans missed 30 games. Right knee tendonitis, 15 points a game. Norris Cole, key backup, 17 games missed. Eric Gordon, another starter, 14 games missed.
He's a shell of himself, too.
Man, Drew Holiday, finally getting back into the groove of things, but he missed. Well, he's been on minute restrictions, so he hasn't been able to ball like how he normally. But that's 15 points a game they not getting, 22-34 in the West, just not getting it done. The injuries it's just too hard to catch up when you that far down in the Western Conference, man.
Mm-hmm. It's all bad.
It's all bad. But Anthony Davis averaging 30 points a game this month. 30 points a game. 28 double-doubles.
If you started a franchise right now, who is your first pick in the draft?
With the players that's in the league right now?
That's correct. Present day, you have a draft tomorrow. Who is your first pick and why?
My first pick and why? I don't know. I want to say Anthony Davis, and you can certainly build around Anthony Davis. But I'm going to tell you, Anthony Davis reminds me of Kevin Garnett when Kevin Garnett was in Minnesota. I think it's just going to take him some time to learn how to win. I think they got in the playoffs last year on a little help by the NBA, personally. The Spurs lost that last game, but I think the NBA wanted to get, you know, all their stars in the playoffs. So I'm not sure if the Pelicans were supposed to be in the playoffs last year. And now we got all these high
expectations. Anthony Davis hit that shot, man, to do it. He made Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook watch the playoffs last year.
That's true.
But Durant was hurt, but Westbrook sat at home.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a guy like Paul George, I would want to build my team around because he's a two-way player. I know he can play offense.
That's your first pick?
I'm not a big Anthony Davis fan. I'm not sure about it.
Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry.
Well, you saying build my franchise, and LeBron, he on his way out. So I can't build my franchise on an old dude.
Kevin Durant?
Huh?
Kevin Durant?
I don't like Kevin Durant's motor. I'm a motor guy. And the reason why I don't like Steph is cuz I got to have a lot of things around me to have Steph excel. Yeah, you got to have a lot of players around Steph to elevate his game to where it's at. I think if you put Steph Curry on the Chicago Bulls, I don't think the Bulls win a championship. I think the team has to be assembled in a certain manner in order to highlight Steph's skills.
Wow. So you kind of on with Barkley. You in the Barkley opinion, huh? Steph is just a great shooter.
I think Steph is just a great, I don't think he's a one trick pony. Well, I kind of do think he's a one trick pony.
You don't think Steph make his teammates better?
No, I think he makes his teammates better by just default. Him being out on the floor, you got to respect him so much. You can't cheat off of him. So just him being on the floor makes his teammates better. Not necessarily him dropping dimes all game, but him just being on the perimeter opens up the floor.
He averaging 30-7.
I'm a big Steph fan, but I think he has a lot of help because everyone in his starting lineup can shoot from the outside. So you cannot cheat on anyone. So it's really hard to guard NBA guys one-on-one. If you can't help out, the offensive player should get the best of you.
But it's pretty much good shooters on every team. Everybody professionals, right?
Nah.
Iguodala is not no knockdown shooter, but he's become a good shooter playing with Steph Curry, right?
Nah, I don't even think Iguodala is still a good shooter at all. In the finals, if you remember, they let Iguodala shoot threes. They were like, go ahead, man. If you beat us with threes.
And he did. Who was the MVP?
I think he beat him with defense, but.
Who was the MVP?
Iggy was the MVP. He was balling. I ain't going to take it from Iggy. Like I said, I think I started with somebody like Paul George because I know he can elevate his game to superstar caliber, not just all-star caliber. He can be a superstar. Now, Anthony Davis, like I said, I see him like Kevin Garnett, man. I do.
I'm taking Anthony Davis with my first pick, my second pick, my third pick. He's the best player. He's going to be the best player on the planet in a year or two.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
He was a point guard in high school at 6'1". Now he's 7 foot, 6'11".
I see a lot of Kevin Garnett.
I see no Kevin Garnett.
I see a lot.
I see a little Dirk. I see a little KG. I see a little Shaq. I see a little bit of everything with this guy, man. He can handle the ball. He can shoot from outside. He's too fast for the bigs to guard him, and he's too big for the smalls to guard him. He can play all 3-4 front court positions for sure.
The good thing about Anthony Davis is he only 22 years old.
Right.
Ooh. He He got plenty of time.
That's my first pick. You can have Paul George. I'm taking Anthony Davis, and I'll see you in the finals every year.
You said who you going to pick right now, and I think Paul George is the most seasoned guy out there.
Can't be mad at that, but I'm taking the brow.
And he young still, George. But Anthony Davis, I'm pretty sure will be everyone's number one pick. I mean, he is very good, but I'm just not a big Anthony Davis fan. And plus, I'm a guy who doesn't necessarily think you have to have a great power forward in the NBA to win a championship. So I wouldn't draft a great power forward ever if I'm a GM. All my power forwards would be like Bo Outlaw or Horace Grant or Otis Thorpe. All my power forwards would be like that if I had a team. I would never have a Chris Webber, a Rasheed Wallace, a Tim Duncan. Well, we won't say Tim Duncan. A Dirk Nowitzki, a Blake Griffin. I would never have one of those type of power forwards ever if I was assembling a team, because you don't need those kind of guys to win. Just look in history, man. Look at all the great power forwards in history in the NBA. How many of them actually won championships? Only like a handful, bro. That ain't a popular position for titles. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. I don't know. A lot, like Blake Griffin. A lot of people in love with Blake Griffin. But all I see is a dunker.
Blake has really expanded his game. I like his ball handle. He can shoot the ball. He can handle the ball. He's a great passer. He just needs to toughen up. I think he got an all-around game.
Now, when people say Blake Griffin, the Clippers are playing better without him, they may be playing to get better without him right now. But in the playoffs, his absence would definitely show.
They definitely. If they think they have a better team without Blake Griffin, they on crack. I don't care how good they playing. Look at their schedule. Look at the teams they played. They've had two tough games, and they lost both of them.
They can't beat OKC. We'll see, man. I like the addition of Jeff Green.
I think that can be huge. You just need him to average about 12 points a game, and, you know, him and Doc reunited from their Boston days. And I think Jeff Green was a great acquisition.
Me too. So we'll see. I definitely like the Clippers starting five over OKC starting five. I do. Speaking of OKC, they just played Cleveland on Sunday, and seemed like LeBron is all up in KD's mental, all up in KD's brain.
It does appear that way. He got KD number, man.
Man,
KD put up the same numbers almost against LeBron he does against everybody else, but is the effect of the impact that it has is zero. It has zero impact on the game.
That's what I said, man. KD out there looking like LeBron's little brother, and LeBron just beat him up every game, every single game. I mean, I'm like, Russell was looking at KD like, come on, man. It's time to shine, man. Let's get him, man. Because when any point guard try to come in and try to outdo Russell, he going at him.
Yeah, Russell got the he has the motor never stops. Russell continues that motor. It's constantly going. What, he had 23 points and 18 assists that game? He shot over 50%. Yeah. I think KD was like 10 for 21. But it had no impact on the game at all.
Yeah, when I was looking at the game, a couple of things stood out to me about OKC. The one thing stood out was Deion Waiters. He's horrible.
Garbage.com.
Their backup two guard, Randy Foy, he doesn't know the system yet. He just got there. That actually could be end up being a good acquisition if he can give him 10 to 12 points every night. But other than that, their two-guard situation is horrible. You name me another two-guard combination in the league right now that's worse than OKC. I think they got the worst two-guard situation in the league right now.
Deion Waiters is such a big disappointment at the two-guard spot. Hopefully when Andre Roberson gets back, he'll make a difference. Not offensively, but defensively, he's a stopper.
And that's another thing. Andre Roberson, really? All I'm saying is, OKC needs a two guard. Bad. Anybody but those three. I mean, I'll take Shuffle Losha back rather than have those three.
He would hit the corner three.
And, you know, one other thing about OKC, you're not going to beat the good teams by playing two-man basketball. You're just not going to do it, man. those two guys, their talent, they're going to win 50 plus games every season just because they talent level is so high. But when they start getting into the playoffs deep, playing against the good teams,
what are they missing? What is it?
Well, there's a couple things wrong.
What's, from the way they playing, why did they fire Scott Brooks? It's the same thing.
Okay, that's the one problem I had with them. The timing when they fired Scott Brooks was all off. Scott Brooks, honestly, should have been fired the year Patrick Beverly hurt Russell Westbrook. That's the year, right after that season, because KD lost to Memphis, I think, in the playoffs. Right after that season, Scott Brooks should have been fired. Then Billy D could have came in, had a year, even though KD got hurt that year, and Russell kind of held the team. And they almost made the playoffs when Russell made was holding down the fort. Mm-hmm. But Billy Donovan would have had that year with Russell. And then when KD came back, which would be this year, he would have had both of them, and he would have just had to implement KD because Russell would have already been there and knew how Billy Donovan worked. But now everything new. And they got both of the stars. I'm like, how you gonna fire your coach when he don't have all his players? That's wrong.
That was Bush League.
They should have, the timing, the management missed up on the timing. They missed the timing on this fire. Because now everything is all over the place, man. If you look at it, it's just like, all right, KD, your turn. All right, Russ,
there's no cohesiveness. You know, Russell is giving up the ball, but the other players ain't coming through, man. Him and Durant averaging about 60 between the two of them, and they losing still.
They going to lose to the best teams when it's all boiled down. And who the best teams in the West?
All right, Dot, I want to touch on the Louisville situation, man. How do you feel the self-imposed sanction, the effects that these institutions have on these students' lives, man, and I don't think it's fair for students to suffer when the university is the ones that fought.
Now, let me get this straight. Louisville self-imposed punishment on themselves so to kind of get away from what the NCAA might, how they might punish them. So if I'm a new recruit and I know this, am I going to Louisville?
But it's only for this season. That's what they did. It's going to affect the students that's there now, but it won't affect scholarships or the recruiting class. It's affecting those that had nothing to do with what happened.
Man, it's just a bad spot. That's all that is. I mean, it's unfortunate. Those kids, they didn't have anything. Well, most of them didn't have anything to do with it, I assume, correct?
That is correct. It was an assistant coach. They can't be found. There's no story. And do you believe that Rick Pitino didn't know that was going on?
Well, Rick Pitino is an admirable guy, so if he says he didn't know, I believe him.
Allegedly.
The whole college thing, I don't even really like to comment on college because I think it sucks. I think the college kids need to be paid. I think basketball and football is such a big draw to these schools that the kids need to be paid somehow, some sort of stipend, or the universities can let these kids just self-promote like they want to do anyway.
What do you think about the 5-minute suspension of Ben Simmons for missing the academic class and he's one and done?
Yeah, exactly. Ben Simmons don't care about class. If you were a one and done and everyone's saying you're going to go number one, no matter how much you try to fake it, you don't care about class, man. You just going to school for one thing.
Do you suspend the kid? What do you do if you're the coach and he missed a class? It's Ben Simmons.
He missed one class, right?
They didn't say.
If he misses a class, if it's Ben Simmons, you miss a class, I'm just going to make him run a couple extra suicides in practice. I'm not even going to hold him out the game. I guess it's good for Ben Simmons to have some sort of punishment and make it known so it doesn't appear that he's just skating through college. But, I mean, come on, man. He's a one and done. Who cares what he does? Man, he probably won't even go to class once the tournament's over. Speaking of tournament, they probably won't even make the tournament.
Yeah, unless you're struggling.
How you going to be drafting? I don't understand how you can be a GM and pick a guy whose team doesn't even make the tournament. How can you pick him number one?
His upside, man. You can't pass on 6'10", LeBron, Magic, with, you know, Man. You just can't pass that talent up. Who do you take?
I'm taking Buddy. If I got a high pick like that, if it's not number one, if it's like number two.
If it's number one, who do you take? Why would you take anybody but Ben Simmons? I can't take Simmons. He's a game changer.
I just can't take Simmons because I don't trust him, man. I don't trust him. I don't trust his motor. I don't trust him. And I can't trust a guy who's supposed to be so great and he can't take his team to the tournament. Man, it's easy to get in the tournament.
Not over yet. He may make the tournament.
Man, hella teams make the tournament, man. 65 teams make the tournament. South Dakota State make the tournament every year. Binghamton makes the tournament. Columbia. Nah, I'm going too far. I think it's Princeton. Princeton or Harvard. One of those always make the tournament. Come on, man. You LSU, you got the best player in the game.
He's my number one pick.
Man, bar none. Save all that. I ain't falling for the bar noise. Ben none. Simmons.
He would be a perennial all-star before his
man, season. I don't want to hear that perennial all-star
crap. By year three,
crap.
He's an all-star.
Man, I don't even know what that means anymore. Look at the East, man. Look at the Eastern Conference. How many all-stars? Man, I don't even know some of them dudes on the Eastern Conference all-star team. It don't even take much nowadays to be an all-star. That's why I'm so mad Dame Lillard can't make the team.
Dame should have been on the team.
That's why they need to go with our format of having the Legends pick, man, because then guys like him won't get snubbed.
Agreed.
But back to Ben Simmons, man. If you draft Ben Simmons number one, you getting a Danny Manning. I'm saying it right now on record. You getting Danny Manning. That's cool if that's what you want at number one.
I think you're getting a Tracy McGrady.
Man, please. He don't even have a personality to shoot.
It took Tracy McGrady about 3 or 4 years to really come into his own.
No, but he always struggled in Toronto. He always was aggressive.
You didn't see him in college, though.
He didn't go to college.
Exactly.
But he was always aggressive on the court. Man, Ben Simmons, you getting Boris Diaw. That's what you getting.
We'll see. Stay tuned. I like his game. I like his game, pro game. He's gonna be a 19-7-7 guy.
That's messed up. I'm tripping. You ain't gonna get Boris Diaw. That's messed up. Even though Boris will be balling though.
I mean, Boris Diaw is Boris Diaw. He's not nobody's gonna, you know, he'll be my 12th man.
Man, all I'm saying about Ben Simmons is this. All the things that they're saying about him, they said about Lamar Odom. They said about Danny Manning. They said about Billy Owens. They said about Jabari Parker. He the newest one. They say about all these guys who are like 6'10", 6'9", that can dribble and pass. Eventually, they going to get it right. Eventually, one of them going to be the superstar that they want, that they just keep talking about eventually. Because they haven't gotten it right yet. I mean, L.O., he was cool. He played well in spots. I like Lamar Odom's game.
Yeah, a successful career, a few rings, a couple rings and things. Yeah.
But like Billy Owens, man, the way they was talking about him, and I know because when the Kings got Billy Owens, we kind of thought he was going to ball. We was like, oh, yeah, Billy Owens. And we didn't get none of the Billy Owens we thought we was going to get. We got a Billy No Buckets.
A Billy Owens.
Billy No Buckets.
Billy No Buckets.
Just like when we got Corliss Williamson.
We had him in Detroit.
And people in Sacramento was calling him Scoreless Williamson.
Scoreless Williamson.
He never got no buckets.
He was a Pistons briefly.
We got to go into it, man.
What did we learn?
What we learned this week, Fresh?
We learned if you had 13 turnovers in a quarter, Damian Lillard will get hot and light your ass up and end up with 51 and you lose by 30.
Man, he would torch you. He torched them.
And we also learned that Dame Lillard released a mixtape talking about he got dissed, he got snubbed, and he's been putting up 30 in a row for 5 games straight as Portland continues to be the hottest team in basketball.
We also learned Shaq knows how to rig a dunk contest, man. Shaq rigged that dunk contest. I'm real mad about that. Aaron Gordon, you won that dunk contest, bruh. Shaq, stop rigging the contest, man. That's messed up. What else we learned?
We learned that on another note in baseball, Bryce Harper said don't shortchange him on a $500 million contract in 3 years when it's time for him to re-up.
You know what, man? he got balls to say some stuff like that. But don't give him, give the man his money. Give him his money.
Those baseball owners have endless supplies of cash.
They got ducats.
Boy, I wish I would have stuck to baseball.
Baseball got ducats. We also learned that LeBron is KD's big brother, for real, on the court.
Damn, KD.
He be sunning him.
Yeah. LeBron kind of owned you. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, KDZ. Durantula. That's why you don't want to come to the Eastern Conference, because LeBron over there, you got to see him too much.
Yep.
You'd rather see him twice a year and in the finals if you're lucky. Wow, we did learn that.
I think I seen KD tugging on LeBron's shorts.
Oh.
During the game. Like, slow down, bruh. Slow down out here.
Also learned that Marc Gasol, his broken foot and surgery, is out for the year.
Yeah, he's done, man. What's up? What's next for the Grizzlies?
They may fall to the lottery without Gasol.
Wow, you think his injury make that much of an impact?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
To the lottery?
He was an all-star last year. Defensive player of the year. Man. It makes a difference.
Man.
16-12.
Zeebo.
Couple rebounds.
Zeebo.
I mean, they was a twin. They effective together. Ground and pound.
Man, we also learned one of the reasons why Derek Fisher got dismissed from the coaching position as the New York Knicks coach is because players were worried that he might creep on their girls. I didn't know that.
Damn, D. Fish. It's enough women to go around without you having to mess with everybody else's cakes, man. Damn, D. Fish.
We also learned Peyton Manning and his wife could be some swingers.
Whoa.
Yeah, y'all done put that together. The report said that Peyton Manning's wife knows about his infidelities, but she's still with him. And it also said that she's rumored to have slipped out on him a couple of times, and they're both cool with it. So that could mean they might be some swinging action.
He might just have an open marriage, man. I can't see Peyton Manning.
You can't
man.
See the swinging going on.
Not Peyton, man. It seemed too private to me. That's pretty funny.
That's funny of Peyton Manning, the nerdiest guy.
Omaha!
Swinging out there. That'll be funny. So, man, that wraps up to another great show, man. It's great to be back fresh.
Oh, man.
Great
All right, that is always a pleasure, man. I'd like to thank everybody for being fans of the Full Court Press. With R. Dot and Fresh, is always a pleasure, and I look forward to you all tuning in to our show next week. Stay tuned. Like my mom say, I'm going to do something the devil don't do. I'm going to leave you alone. Till next time.
In the details very often is the beauty. When all these little things come together, it's the ultimate feeling of completeness.
The Volvo V40R design with adaptive digital display, illuminated gear shift, and 17-inch diamond cut alloys. Now from just £259 a month, including maintenance, with Volvo car leasing, with an initial rental of £259.
4-year personal contract hire agreement. Offer ends March 31st. Subject to status, mileage and return conditions apply. Rental includes optional maintenance covering routine servicing, tyres, replacement parts and repair due to fair wear and tear. Visit volvocars.co.uk for more details.
Book a test drive today at your nearest Volvo showroom. The Volvo V40R design. Life is in the details.